This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, November 18th, 1973, we are on the brink of one of the most consequential moments in the quickly growing and unraveling Watergate scandal. This moment would actually happen on the 21st, but this is the moment where J. Fred Buzhardt, let me say that name again, J. Fred Buzhardt, who is a lawyer defending President Richard Nixon in the Watergate case, reveals to a U.S. district court that a key White House tape of a conversation taking place just a few days after the Watergate break-in, well, that tape had an 18.5-minute gap in it. Nixon, of course, had a secret tape recorder in the Oval Office. The contents of those tapes had been coming out for a year or so as part of this scandal, and they generally proved pretty damning. And then, this moment, the lack of content may have proved even more damning because there were 18.5 minutes missing from a very key day. So, listeners, to give you a sense of what that really means, we will now pause in silence for 18.5 minutes and then we'll continue with the podcast. Now, we will talk about it. You can imagine what 18.5 minutes of silence amidst very gripping and very damning audio evidence from the White House would mean. But let's talk about it with, as always, Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hi, Jody.
Hey there.
I'll just say as a like sticky number, 18.5 is just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that it has a half, the fact that it's not a round number, you know, it's just like well scripted. I commend the writers for picking that number. But, you know, so much of what is on the Nixon tapes is incredibly damning that my first thought, to be honest, is like, well, gosh, what must have been on those 18.5 that
right?
That's what they chose to erase when they didn't erase any of the other stuff. But
now there's a smoking gun tape.
Yeah.
There's a tape where it becomes very clear that Richard Nixon ordered this Watergate burglary in addition to all of these, I mean, all of the racist stuff that he says,
of
his just like drunken ramblings. He was all of his attacks on the press, these all become public. And yet this tape, as they're discussing the Watergate break-in, just disappears those 18.5 minutes. I just want to know so bad.
Nixon had started taping in the Oval Office and then sort of tapes throughout both the planning of the Watergate break-in and then the unraveling of it as a scandal. So it is like a real-time record of both the crime and the cover-up.
Yeah.
And then this is the cover-up within the cover-up, I suppose. But there are a lot of questions about what really happened and how this thing actually got erased.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing is that no one really knows how this happened, but there are theories about maybe by accident or intentionally, Nixon himself could have like somehow kiboshed the tapes. It's just not clear. We do know that he was not very technologically astute, and so it is likely that, you know, part of it could have been ruined just by his mishandling of it, but also, we know he's kind of shady.
Yeah, right. So that's the interesting thing. It's like the Nixon is not very tech savvy side of things cuts both ways because it's like, well, yeah, he never would have had the tech savviness to like know how to erase a tape. But then it's also like, well, yeah, but he also may have just like been drunk and hit the wrong button and erased 18.5 minutes. So there's the Nixon did it theory. Nikki, you got any thoughts on that one?
I do. So one of the things to know about the Nixon recording system, other presidents had these kinds of systems, but Nixon's was voice activated. So part of the reason we have all these very candid conversations is because it's likely that he probably forgot that it was on half the time. Now, it could also be controlled by his secretary, who could turn it on when they wanted particular conversations to be recorded. And this is the explanation that the Nixon team puts forward, that Rosemary Wood, his longtime secretary, who had been with him since his days in the vice presidency, that she accidentally with her foot touched a pedal and that caused the recording not to work. And so they had her demonstrate how this would happen. And it involved her like stretching her entire body out so that her foot could reach the pedal while she was like talking on the phone. Which
my favorite detail in all of this is just ushering reporters into the Oval Office or into the White House and then having her demonstrate how she could have done this.
A reenactment. Yeah. And then seeing, actually, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah. And it's also just like, you didn't think in your reenactment, your staged Potemkin reenactment of this, to just move the foot pedal closer to make it seem more plausible.
Like, look, it's a third-rate burglary and a third-rate cover-up.
So there's the Nixon did it. There's Rosemary Woods did it. Alexander Haig, chief of staff, also a suspect here, may have gone in and erased this as well.
I'm very much in the Haig camp. I think Haig did it.
It seems like that falls under the purview of chief of staff.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, it does.
And so that's the like, what? How did it get erased question. And then there's the big, what was actually in that gap question. Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about that? Because the other thing is, in addition to tapes being recorded, people are also taking notes throughout this whole process, which generally speaking, if you're on the up and up, great idea, take notes. If you're doing what these people are up to, I would have put the pen and paper down. But nevertheless, people are taking notes throughout this. So there's some sort of record that you can start to piece together and say, maybe this is what was going on.
Is this where we mentioned the Stringer Bell comment? Is you taking notes on a criminal conspiracy?
Exactly. Where was Stringer Bell to get into Haldeman's ear and say, stop taking notes? But do we know anything?
Look, we know a couple of things. Nixon has suggested that he was paranoid about being bugged, and so he was asking them to check to see, which is in keeping with what we know of Richard Nixon. But beyond that, Kelly, do we know anything else?
No, and that's the problem. We don't know. It could have been something completely benign. You know, it could have been, I don't know, ordering food. It could have been, that doesn't take 18 minutes, but like, it could have been something.
Big order.
Yeah, it could have been a random conversation that had nothing nefarious on it. But the problem is that we don't know. And all that we have to sort of inform or suspect about what it might be is the problematic behavior that we do know. So, yeah. I mean, it leads a lot of us to suspect that it's probably not so great, but we may never know.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. We may never know in a second. But I do kind of want to think about how this plays sort of in the narrative of Watergate. We've talked about Watergate on this show before, and my sense of Watergate is like, you could probably point at any moment over a 2-year period and say, this is where it, you know, crossed the Rubicon and everything was lost and where things were really screwed. But, you know, this does feel like a seminal moment, a big turning point, not because necessarily what was or wasn't on those 18 minutes, but because it just feels like it adds that final straw to the camel's back of like incompetence and scrambling and desperation, which, as we've talked about with scandals, like anytime you're going down to like fighting the small little battle of could her foot reach the pedal, like you've lost the plot, right? You're just like, you're just doing all this little, you know, that happened during the Trump administration too. It's just these little battles. Whereas if you just take half a step back and look at the big story, it's like, oh, wow, you know, this is unraveling in some much bigger way.
And remember, the big drama of Watergate at that moment was that the Nixon administration was exerting executive privilege, saying they didn't need to turn over the tapes. So everybody knew that these tapes had been ordered, that they were going to have to turn them over, and they turned them over, and one of the most important tapes is missing 18 and a half minutes. No one believes this. And so it goes exactly like that. The administration can't be trusted.
And if you think about, I mean, just how much can be said in an 18 minutes? I mean, that's a lot of time. You know what I mean? You can say a lot of damning things in 30 seconds. So 18 minutes is quite a bit.
Yeah, and you know, I think as we started at the top of the show, like there were damning things, there were smoking guns everywhere, literally, you know, figuratively, and there was something known as the smoking gun tape. And so again, it's like the fact that the 18 minutes existed and the air of the conspiratorial air it creates is much is maybe more important than the content itself. That said, I think obviously the curiosity remains on what is actually on those tapes. Yeah. There have been attempts through the years to try and I don't know, forensically rescue those tapes and repair mm-hmm. them and so forth. So far to no avail, but people are still trying.
Yeah. One day yeah. we're going to know.
One day.
I trust you, technology.
I mean, what we do know is right now the National Archives has it. And so if anyone creates the technology to crack the code on this silence, then have at it. The tapes will be there waiting for you.
Yeah. I'm out of my depth here a little bit. I am an audio professional, but no, I don't, I'm out of my depth here. But I will say, like, I don't know, part of me feels like there has to be some trace amount of something on that tape, physical tape. You know, if we can, like, recreate the DNA of a dinosaur from, like, you know,
Jurassic Park, a
drop of blood. Yeah, no, I know that was a movie, Kelly. I know that wasn't a documentary. But you get what I'm saying. Like, at some point, I believe the technology would be there. Exactly. I want to Jurassic Park the 18 and a half minute tapes. That's exactly right. So look, my wish for this episode was that it could be exactly 18 and a half minutes long. I really wanted to get there. But I'm out of things to say about this tape. I think this was an interesting moment. I don't know if there's anything bigger that we want to say. Can anyone vamp for the next 5.5 minutes?
I think we just play silence and give people an immersive experience.
Yes.
All right. We will end the episode there. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you as always.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
The most enduring mystery is an 18 and a half minute gap on a conversation between President Nixon and his chief of staff, H.R. Haldeman, just 3 days after the Watergate break-in. All you hear on the tape is hiss, hum, buzzes, and clicks.
Go 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radio to I don't have my prep. Where is my prep? It just disappeared. Don't start without a prep in front of you. Oh, there you go.
Sorry. I like how you rolled right through though.
Yeah, I know. You should leave.
Well,
that
you know, I got to the part where then it was like, oh, I don't know these words. Okay, here you go. 3, 2, 1.
Radiotopia. From PR.